rock, sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
So for many fans, the journey home from Kiev is nearly reaching its conclusion, including Neil Atkinson and the rest of the lads from the Anfield Wrap. Let's say good morning. Still en route, I believe, Neil.
I'm indeed, Steve. I am indeed. But we'll be back soon.
How have you found the trip?
The trip's been a load of fun, to be honest with you. We've had a fantastic time. It was great on the day in Kiev. And we've had a night in Berlin and a night in Prague. And you can't say further than that, can you?
So a little bit of a European tour. But why not? It sounds fantastic. Let's get on to the game itself. You've had plenty of time for reflections, discussions on that coach on the way home. Let's start with Mo Salah. I mean, terrible when you lose your main man so early in the game.
Yeah, you felt like Liverpool were just beginning to turn the screw. I think they're the better side, really, up until the point where Salah goes off. And I think that it obviously knocked everyone sideways a little bit. But I think it also, it gave Madrid a big boost. And you saw before half-time, they got themselves right on the front foot and pushed us back. So I think it made a difference there. And I think the shame was Liverpool were, it was reminding me not of the 3-0 home win against Man City in the Champions League, but the 4-3 game against Man City where it was 1-1 at half-time. But there have been periods in the first half where Liverpool turned the screw and then exploded second. And it was beginning to look like it might be that sort of game rather than one where Liverpool come out the traps and fly at them. And I think there was a lot of maturity in Liverpool's early performance. But Salah going off changes it. And it changes it for a variety of reasons. And one of those reasons is, you know, Lallana just didn't cut the mustard. He's not a front three player full stop. But also he looked so far off the pace. He couldn't really offer any threat, any outlet or anything to get Liverpool in the game.
I thought experience did pay by the very end of the game. Obviously, there was the mistakes and there was Mo Salah going off as well. But I think experience did count if you look at the game overall for Real Madrid. I'm not saying they were that much better than Liverpool, but they knew how to play that game when it was needed.
I think they have a good 10 minutes after we go 1-1. So we get the equaliser and they have a really good 10 minutes where they just sort of kill Liverpool's momentum. They stop the game and they don't let Liverpool swamp them. But again, I think that it's easier to do that when you haven't got three top-quality attacking threats on the pitch and only got two. They're able to be 10, 15 yards higher. They're able to get more around their midfielders and give them more options, which they weren't doing before Salah went off. So, yeah, I think they are to show their experience at that time. But I think the flip side of that is, you know, it's one thing to show your experience when you've got, you know, when you're able to take the ascendancy in that sort of way. I think it would have been a different kettle of fish if Salah had remained on. But yeah, I mean, there's no shadow of a doubt at all. They knew exactly how to time their moments in the game and how to go from there. And I think that, you know, I think that the Bale goal and the timing of the Bale goal was the really good one, not the disappointing one. The really good one matters. And the other thing that matters as well is all the goals Liverpool concede are the sort of goals that feel like they count as two. You know what I mean? Like, you score a great goal sometimes and it takes the opponent longer to react.
Yeah.
And if the opponent scores from a massive error of one of yours, then it takes you a bit longer to react. I think Liverpool do brilliantly to pull themselves back into it as quickly as they do after that first. But when the third goes in, it's all over by the shouting. If it had been just a conventional sort of goal, Liverpool might have found it a bit easier to pull themselves back, perhaps. But even then, I think Madrid's experience would have told, and also the stage of the game and the stage of the season would have told.
What was the reaction from the Liverpool fans in the stadium to that overhead kick?
Just a lot of people couldn't believe how fantastic it was, to be honest with you, Steve. I mean, it didn't get a round of applause or anything, but it was a general sort of intake of breath. It's a fantastic goal. And I've seen it back now from a lot of different angles, and it, you know, it's an unanswerable attempt, and it shows the quality of the footballer. And all the way through the build-up, he was the one who concerned me the most. I felt that Liverpool had enough between Lovren and Alexander-Arnold to be able to keep an eye on Ronaldo. But Bale is, you know, I think he's when full force, when fully fit, when on song, I think he's a genuinely tremendous footballer. Obviously, Ronaldo is too, but he's become a different player in recent weeks. In recent years. Whereas Bale is still this irresistible force of nature that it's impossible to deal with. And you know, I think that if Liverpool start with their front three and they bring on Gareth Bale when Mohamed Salah gets injured, Liverpool win the game. And I think that you see that Real Madrid win the game because they've got Gareth Bale to bring on. That's, you know, I do sort of generally take the experience point, and I think Real Madrid showed loads of it, but they also simply had better options from the bench. And you can already see that Liverpool are stepping in to deal with that situation.
By the way, Trent had a great game, didn't he? It hasn't really been a conversation around some of the players, but given his age and given his season, I think he'll look back on that one and say, wow, what an experience, and I didn't do badly.
Yeah, Trent had a great game. I felt that all the back four played really well. I thought Dejan Lovren was perhaps, you know, Liverpool's outstanding performer on the night. And I think that, you know, there's enormous credit to those four, really, and to their manager, who's, you know, for a back four who'd be maligned. I think that there's Karius does have to make a couple of good saves, and there's a great last-ditch tackle from Lovren especially. And there's the mad thing with the pitch invasion that I've never really understood since, and I'm not going to worry about too much. But apart from that, and that might sound like a fair few apart froms, but it didn't to me seem as though, you know, Madrid were constantly getting at Liverpool's back line. I thought all four of them marshalled the Madrid attack really well.
The picture of Loris Karius praying has just come up on my TV screen. Loads of time for reflection on him and the mistakes that he made. What's the future for him now, Neil?
I think that's a conversation that I think we can have it as supporters and have what our instincts are, but I think that's something that the manager really needs to work on, and not just work on alone, work on with his backroom staff. Take the knowledge he's got of the personality of the footballer, but not just that footballer, but the other ones who play in front of him. It wouldn't surprise me if Klopp is speaking to Van Dijk, Lovren, Henderson as captain, possibly Milner, and trying to get a sense of what the lads who have to play in front of Karius feel about it, feel on a personal level, but also feel on the level of can they rely on him to be Liverpool's goalkeeper in a final going forward. I think that all the Liverpool players, the way they spoke after the game about winning together and losing together, I think that does them enormous credit, and I think that's the right attitude. But it's a different thing entirely if Liverpool line up in a final next season and Virgil van Dijk's coming onto the pitch worried about what's behind him if it's Loris Karius. And I think that the manager will know that. He'll be able to gauge his players. The one thing he looks like he's very, very able to do, well, he's very able to do lots of things, but he seems very, very solid as a manager who's close to his players and understands how his players think and feel. And I think that there may well be some conversations there that I had internally, and they go from there. For me personally, I'd like to see Liverpool invest in a clear upgrade goalkeeper. And for me, there's one option that I'd love to see them pursuing. It's Oblak from Atletico Madrid. I think, you know, for the money that's being touted for Alisson, I think that Liverpool could get Oblak for around that sort of money. And I think he comes in with a fantastic pedigree, with a real sort of sense of being there, seeing it, done it, while still being of a decent age. And I think he'd be the sort of signing that would strike fear into the rest of the Premier League. I think Alisson, I didn't see anything when we decimated Roma home and away that made me think, good Lord, he's something special. Listen, he could just have been having off days and Liverpool were fantastic, but, you know, Oblak's the one that I think if you're going to be spending upwards of £60 million for a goalkeeper, he's the one I'd spend it on.
It's very hard to imagine the personal journey that Loris Karius will be going on for the next, not just weeks, months.
But years, Steve. I mean, it's, you know, we were talking a lot before the game about previous Champions League finals, what's your favourite goal, what stood out in the past. It's possibly the worst conceivable personal performance I can think of in a Champions League final. I think that can only really genuinely fall to a goalkeeper, but that's what's happened. It is that bad a performance, and it is that bad an outcome, and it is two errors of such magnitude that just completely take the game away from Liverpool. And you know, I feel genuinely sorry for him. That doesn't mean I want him to be Liverpool's goalkeeper next season, but it means that, you know, you can relate to people on a human level. And I feel genuinely sorry for him, and think that, you know, Liverpool should, you know, be doing everything they can to look after him and to look after his family, from the sounds of the Simon Hughes piece. You know, he hasn't got a World Cup to look forward to. He's now got a summer to stew on all of this, and I think that Liverpool have got to be really clear, and I think they will be really clear and crisp in their communication with him as to what they expect from him and go from there. But, you know, as I say, if you're asking me, I would rather Liverpool have a different first choice goalkeeper next season. Now, I think that I could have been persuaded if you'd have offered me Jan Oblak anyway to throw the money at him and go from there. But now I just think it'll make everyone's life easier if Karius is either given the option to rebuild his career for 12 months off Liverpool's bench, or alternatively given the option to rebuild his career somewhere else and put this behind him.
Yeah, maybe it's something that just has to happen. Let's finish on happier news. So Liverpool lose a final, then within a couple of days they sign a player for a lot of money, and we all get very excited about Fabinho. Another addition to an ever-strengthening midfield, Neil.
Yep, I think that tells you a story that what Liverpool are looking to do. But it also tells you a story of something which I think is just huge common sense. I look at I think that Klopp takes as a reference point. I think I've discussed this with you before, Steve. I think Klopp takes as a reference point the Chelsea and Manchester United sides from the previous decade, around 2004 to 2008, 2009. And God, did those squads have a lot of centre mids. They were squads that were absolutely packed to the brim of centre mids, in that if you can solve a problem in centre mids, you'll be absolutely fine. and also centre-mids who can perform more than one function, can play different bits of midfield. This lad supposedly can do stuff at right-back as well, so he'll get time on the pitch on a regular basis, but he'd be coming in to play centre-midfield first and foremost. And I think that that's an area where, you know, you really want to be strong. And then I think the next stage on that is adding forwards, wide players, especially players with pace and trickery. And I think that, you know, that's the blueprint that the manager's going down. And you know, centre midfielders who are strong, quick, can move the ball. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's got, and that's what he's trying to add to. And who are they moving the ball to? Well, forwards who are tricky and who can get on the end of things, but also who've got genuine pace and threat, who can cut in from wide areas. And I think that's going to be the blueprint for the entire summer. And Fabinho is exciting, and I think it's really, really good news. And I think it shows that the depth of the planet the football club's capable of at the minute. And you know, it's time to really get behind the club, not to pull punches and not to dwell on what happened on Saturday night, but instead applaud and respect the brilliance of getting there and then kicking on. And I think that Liverpool can kick on.
Neil, thank you very much indeed. Give my best to all your bus companions, John, Gareth and the rest of them. Well done. And we'll see you very soon. Thank you.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.